go for
real. I just let out the biggest fart.
There it is!
The greatest fart in the world.
Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, Episode 10, Nerd Talk Number 3. Once again, this is our variation show, where we talk all things nerdy, other video games, movies, board games, tabletop stuff, books, movies, other list, tax returns, whatever is nerdy to you, we will discuss. Whatever is nerdy to us, we will discuss. They're nerfing my tax returns now. Joining me tonight for Nerd Talk Number 3 is my ever-sensual co-host, Nick.
Hello.
How are you? Hello. Very cordial. Hello. How are you?
Hi.
It's a good start. We're rocking and rolling, baby. Another voice joining us is... Good. I was queuing that up for you. Do we...
My
is he technically...
Is really bad.
Is he technically... Is this a bit... Is he technically a co-host now, too, since he's, like, on every episode? Or is he just as whatever he wants to be?
Like, Barb?
Like, this other voice we CC on all our emails is Russell!
Woohoo, I get CC'd!
How are you?
I thought I was effervescent. Where did the effervescent part go, Brett?
It disappeared. You lost that title.
Yeah.
Well, that's rude.
Your title's dead to me.
Well, you're dead to me.
Good.
Your mom's
good.
No, like your mom.
Let the hate flow through you.
Palpatine? Is that you?
Palpatine?
Not just the women, but the men and the children. I purposely said
not
the
just the Palpatine, not, but the women.
And the younglings. And the Padmes.
You're going down the path I can't follow.
Well, good lord, lady, if you really loved me, you'd just follow me down, too.
You just follow
me down.
That's
what I'm saying.
She just really didn't love him.
She doesn't believe me.
Have you seen...
You just follow me down.
Have you seen that meme of when Anakin and Obi go to Padme's apartment? She's like, there's 10 kids and 8 chairs. What do you do? And Obi-Wan goes, bring 2 more chairs. And Anakin goes, kill 2 children.
No,
that's what I would do.
Red flag, red flag.
Are you making that up, actually?
Yes. My comedic mind is so brilliant that I just made that up on the spot. Did not find it on the internet.
I mean, I could believe it.
Aw, thank you.
You could.
You're welcome.
So, let's just start out here by going through what have you guys been up to this last week in gaming? Let's start with you, Russ.
In gaming?
Yeah, man. Ooh. I don't care about
your
real life.
I haven't done much gaming here lately because I've been just crazy busy.
Yeah.
We started a new business.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, we started a new business.
Tell me about this. Tell me. Plug it. Plug it here for our audience.
Oh, fine. So I have started a business wherein it's kind of like a mini Amazon. So I sell things at wholesale, and I get paid to do it. So that's currently what we're doing. Right now it's a side business, but we're looking to expand it because it's great money making potential. So we've just started with that. It's been really good so far. Lindsay's gotten really into it. She's already got some people that she's been talking to about purchasing some of our stuff and maybe joining us in the business. And then I haven't done much in gaming, but I've been watching a show called Altered Carbon on Netflix, which is
cool. I've heard
amazing.
About it.
Amazing.
There's some really good eye candy in that show, too. Just
yeah, all of the above. Men and women.
That's, yeah.
But
you sold me right
really
there.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of modern Blade Runner, because it kind of has that noir sci-fi aspect that Blade Runner has.
Ooh, I like that.
Like 80s sci-fi style.
Did you see the new Blade Runner, perchance, actually, on that subject?
Yes, I have.
I have not, and I really want to.
2049.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
How'd you like it, Russ?
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was good, because I actually watched them back-to-back. Because I was like, I have never seen Blade Runner, So I was like, I need to watch that first so I can kind of understand things a little bit better. So I watched Blade Runner first, and I thought it was really good.
Yes!
I enjoyed it. It's kind of, it has that slower aspect, but, you know, that noir sci-fi is just a cool genre in general. Mm.
Yeah, really cool world they built.
Yes. And Altered Carbon kind of reminds me of that in a sense, because it has that noir aspect of the, you have this guy who is 250 years dead, but they have this technology where you can transport consciousness between bodies, what they call sleeves. And so he's 250 years old. He was part of this revolutionary group that was fighting against what they saw as a threat by the, you know, the spreading of this technology and how people would no longer age or die, especially the rich. So they were revolutionaries, and now he's been brought into a new body 250 years later, where the threat that they saw has now been realized. The rich never die, and because they never die, they've started to be a little crazy, even more so than they are today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really good. It's really deep. The characters, the actors are phenomenal. They're believable, and the characters, the characterization is very well done. And I really enjoyed, it felt very well thought out. Like, I mean, they have this premise, right? And I feel like most shows, they go, okay, here's this premise, but we're going to break all the rules that we set with this premise. With this one, they have very set rules, and they follow those rules. You know, I mean, and I enjoy that. I enjoy when you have a certain amount of world building, and your magic, or whatever, has a rule system to it, and you follow those rules. Now, occasionally, you can break those rules for particular reasons, but you have to have a reason that those rules get broken. Sorry, that's kind of a tangent. But this show, really good. Each episode was engaging, intriguing. It didn't really have any slow points. The AI, I think the AI character Poe was my favorite, because he's just freaking awesome. And that's the end. That's what I've been doing this week.
That's sweet. Nick, you said you've been watching that too?
Prove it. I saw the first episode.
Uh-huh. What were your thoughts of just the intro?
Awful. No, I'm kidding. It was actually really good.
Is that something you're going to be watching more?
Lots of eye candy.
No, I mean, that's a serious point. Just saying. Yeah, I will definitely watch more when I have time.
And you even have to see what's his name from The Following, Full Frontal.
Wait, who's who?
The main meth guy, Lawrence Bancroft.
The new sleeve that he wakes up in?
No. Lawrence Bancroft is the meth that hires, what's his name?
Oh, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Talk.
Full Frontal's all that matters, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And where can you find this show?
It's on Netflix.
This episode is not brought to you by Netflix. Please go to them. Enter promo code JustSomeGuardians for an air code. All right, thank you. That was our plug.
We should get paid for that. How much are we getting paid for that again?
We're getting paid...
Pence.
26. We're getting paid in half pennies. So
26 tuppence.
Tuppence. Feed the birds. Speaking of Netflix, I actually sat down and watched that Will Smith movie Bright the other day.
Oh, yeah. How'd you like that?
Oh, my God. That was brilliant. It was phenomenal. Once again, one of those kind of off-world builds that are just brilliant. And I want to see more stuff in that universe, you know, where you have your... Like, elves are all, like, rich and powerful and have their own city, and, like, it's very grungy everywhere else, and, like, orcs are mixed in with all the other kind of movie TV, usually done, like, gangster-looking little races and stuff on the side, and the premise was just brilliant, and the execution was, like, I was super drawn into it. It's a long movie, but it didn't feel like it. The characters are very well built for just... I thought it could have been a TV show, but just in the short time they did, they told the story really well. The character building was really well done. They played on race exceptionally well without doing it in like a normal Hollywood touchy-feely way, you know. It was, if you haven't watched it, it's brilliant, and you need to watch it. That's all I'm saying.
Have yeah, two, I agree.
Have you guys seen it? Did you see it, Russ?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And here's the thing. So critics, and I think it's the same reason that critics panned King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is another movie that I thought was really good.
I do sit down and watch
the
that.
Heck out of it. It's epic. That's the best word I can think of to describe it. It's epic. Mm-hmm. But in both sense, they had planned on already doing a sequel. So they do a lot of world building that you would see kind of like in a book that's planned out to be a series. You see a lot of world building, you hint at a lot of things that you don't really cover in that first movie or that first book, but things that are going to come up later, foreshadowing, right? You know, like the Shield of Light and stuff like that, which seems to hint at the fact that, you know, Will Smith is going to be this pivotal figure, and eventually the Dark One is coming back, you know, because they kind of hint at that.
Well, and then with that, I was kind of let down for a moment, though, like in the trailers, and maybe it's a thing from, like, they've already filmed stuff for, like, another one or something, but in all the trailers, there's a scene where Will Smith stands up with a sword and it's on fire. And that never happened. And I was like, the whole movie, that moment's going to happen, you know, and it didn't happen. So I'm hoping, like, definitely Will Smith's character is going to be kind of important.
Right. Well, he's already signed on for the next one.
Mm-hmm. As you should. It's such a good role for him. He's really good at that. Like, that's one of his strongest points is playing a character like that.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of his character in iRobot a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah.
You know, so I'm really looking forward to it. I thought it was good. It didn't do, critics apparently did not like it.
The thing with that though is it's like if a movie is sort of difficult to just understand, like if you're not just sitting there like chewing popcorn getting entertained, like critics hate it. The fact that it's deep at all and like you have to use your brain to understand what's going on immediately makes critics hate something. Is my experience with modern critics lately.
Well, I mean, I think they look at it in the aspect of it didn't deliver on some of the promises that it made, but that's because they're planning on doing a second one, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, the Dark One never materialized, but that's okay because they'll probably be doing something with that in the next one.
Yeah. Well, and even with that, like, the main, I can't remember people's names because it was, you know, they did a really good job with it, but that was a couple weeks ago, so I forgot now. But I'm getting worried, too.
I'm sorry, I turned it all the way down, but I guess it's coming through a different audio.
Yeah, we should talk to that person. But, sorry. No, you're fine. So, you know, they keep talking about the Dark One, how scary they are and stuff, but, like, that main evil elf chick, I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry, everybody. But, like, she was scary enough, like, crazy good villain. And whoever this Dark One's supposed to be, like, 100 times that. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
They did a really good job of keeping her intense while building up.
No, I disagree. I think her outfit was scarier than anything else in the game, or in the movie.
Her outfit was on. She was on point, girl. Damn.
No, that was scary.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that's another thing. You know, the critics say, oh, well, this character wasn't developed. Right, because all you see is her in a couple of fight scenes, but I feel like that's kind of the point.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
that's
one of the Indiana Jones villains. You don't get the whole background, you don't find out what their deal is, you know, you don't find out why she's trying to bring back the Dark One or anything like that.
But you're
you
still scared.
She's there, she's scary, mm-hmm. and she's gonna kill you and mess you up in the process. So, you know, and I think that that's the fun of it. You don't really have an idea, and it makes her scarier because you have no idea what her motives are.
Right.
Other than the fact that at the very end you have that kind of revelation that's like, oh, okay, that makes some sense why she wants this girl back. But other than that, you don't really have a sense of her motivations, which I kind of like. I mean,
and that, you don't want a villain, I can't remember anyone's names. No,
you
for sure.
You don't always want a villain that's fully fleshed.
Yeah. Well, then that other girl, too, was like, that was a cool character. Well, it was like, so they did, like, the cliche, I could speak your language the entire time, but I didn't want to. But, like, when it happened, right. I didn't see it coming. Like, honestly, it's very rare that happens, and I'm like, wait, she could speak the whole time? That usually doesn't catch me off guard, and that hit me good. I was like, wait a second. Yeah. What is she trying to pull? Right?
She's a villain.
A lot of these situations would have been way easier if you just spoke English, lady.
Yeah.
Everyone in that club died because you decided you didn't want to speak English yet.
Well, isn't that the way most women are?
If you just speak to me, everyone would still be alive. Yep, yeah. Yep. Yep.
If you just told me what the problem was, then I would have a problem to begin with.
She's just walking around holding a wand going, it's fine.
if you would like to send any letters, send them to care of just some guardians.
Yes. Just some guardians at gmail.com telling us how sexist we are.
Yeah. So no, it's not sexist. That's the thing. So you guys, your significant others, do you have words that you don't use? Like, it's fine for one.
Do I have like words that I don't use?
Correct. I've like, never like, not, been. I don't.
Fat.
I know.
I do not use the word fat in any context whatsoever, because that's bound to get me in trouble.
I more meant like the whole, like it's fine. Like no, you do not say it's fine to me.
There's stuff like that I've just never said because that's not who I am. But I don't really have anything that like since we've been in a relationship, I've gone, okay, that's a bad thing to say. We're pretty open.
I just say things that I shouldn't say all the time. Like, I feel like I always open my mouth and it's like, I should not have said that. That was dumb.
I'll wrestle you, big goober. You did it again.
And it's like, okay, let me try to fix that. But luckily, Lindsay is very understanding and she'll be like, I know that's not what you meant, but you may want to rephrase what you just said.
I hope you didn't mean that, Russell.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I definitely didn't, and I'm glad that you pointed that out so that I can try to fix it. And then at that point, it's like, okay, let's see if I can word this in a way, which I usually don't. I usually just end up saying it worse the first time, or that worse the second right. time than I did the first time. And then I'm like, I love you.
The word actually scares me, but other than that, we're good.
Oh, I say that all the time.
Actually, oh God, here we go.
This is going to be a long conversation, isn't it?
Right, time to get comfortable. Let me find a seat. All right, let me just gag popcorn. Myself. All right, here we go.
You got some butter?
Right? This is the same price as cost as admission? Damn. Hmm. What about you, Nick? What do you got?
What for what? What am I doing? What am I playing? What am I
No, your question you literally just asked us. Oh, if there's any phrases that you do not say.
It's not only that I don't say, but it's like okay, like in our relationship we do not use these words as descriptors. It's fine. Like no, fine is a four letter word. We don't use it. And then it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's a good one.
I use whatever all nope. the time.
It's yeah.
Whatever.
I'm notorious for going,
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, right. When I do that.
It's got that like solid day. Side look going too.
Yeah, I can't help it, okay?
Well, next question, which would be the first question then. Let's flip it over to you. What have you been up to in, like, I guess, just life for the last week then, since we've been kind of jumping tangents that way?
Oh, my. I've been up to a bunch of bongus. No, mm-hmm. You know, still getting settled in the new place.
Mm-hmm.
And been playing a lot of Overwatch lately. You know, and that obviously has a lot to do with the fact that the league is still going on. And so I can't help but mm-hmm. want to play after watching a league match.
Right.
Like, I challenge any Overwatch fan to not all of a sudden just want to log in and, oh, I can totally do that! And then you fail miserably.
That has totally not been me. I can play Tracer really well now that I've watched it. I die.
I have found that I'm like, okay, we got these tactics down, these are the ones I've seen, and then it's like, how did they do that? Because I don't, what? This is not working for me. This was a terrible idea.
Right. So, like, I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. What else? I've been playing Dying Light on the side.
Dying. Oh, yeah.
What is that? I think that's one of those games that was really good, but not a lot of people played.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It's like zombie survival parkour.
It looks cool. I watched it played a couple
times. I still need to pick that up. Yeah.
It's so good. Like, and it's multiplayer, too. So if you guys pick it up, I would love to run with you.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. And I know you can get it cheap. Like, you can get the version that has all of the DLC for, like, $20 right now.
Oh, wow.
I really want to get For Honor.
Don't. Trust me. Don't do it.
Really?
It's garbage. There's, like, one class that everyone plays because it can, like, two-shot everyone else. It's like playing Overwatch when every other player in the game is one of those, like, inhuman Widowmakers that can headshot you from anywhere in the map.
But I've heard they fixed a lot of things.
Go for it if you want.
I'll have to look that up. I know that's kind of been Ubisoft's thing lately, is launching a game that's kind of and then fixing it.
I've heard it's gotten a lot better, and some of the new releases that I've seen, because I've looked at some of their updates over the past year or so, because it came out last year, and they've balanced a lot of the character. That's what I've read, and I've seen a lot of people talking about it, because I've looked it up on YouTube and stuff like that, to see what people have to say about it, and they've said that they really have worked hard to balance things in a better way. I mean, I think they were saying that you still see a lot of people playing. It's one of the samurai classes, but I can't remember which one it is. But they said that it's a little more balanced, but
hopefully.
I don't know.
I remember I was super hyped when that game was for. I was watching like everyone's videos and they were doing the beta and like when it first launched, I was like, "This game looks amazing!" And then like the second I was finally like, "I think I'm gonna pick it up." It was everything came out and it was like, it's garbage, don't do it. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I won't be doing that.
Well, the very first thing that made me super interested is the knight has this finishing move where he grabs his hand and a half sword by the blade and sticks the pommel into somebody's neck and then like beats them to death with it. Like, because you know, you see a lot of movie sword fighting, right? Associated with Hollywood, but it's not the way that they actually fought. And I've started to get into some of that and started to watch. And I'm no expert by any means, but it was brutal. And it's a martial art. And I think that that's something a lot of people forget, is that it was a martial art, just like they had martial arts over in the East, which seemed to be, you know, that seems to be more popular as far as people viewed it, but the medieval fights were brutal to the point to where they used anything and everything they could to kill you, and it was awesome.
It was awesome.
I would join a medieval fight club in a heartbeat.
Right, those look like super fun. But, hey, what else have you been up to there, Nicholas? A lot. Good. That's good. That's important. That's very good.
Sorry, I stole this tangent, I think.
Well, I have... We'll just jump over to me, I guess. The best class, obviously.
All right,
You keep telling me I get that voice down. It makes me happy. I mean, I don't know how happy I should be about that being the voice I can do, but, you know, whatever. Creepy.
It actually, not Calculatron, it sounds more like, who's the fat robot that sits...
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. I feel way better now.
any like, have you seen Futurama? You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to break that, lads.
Hedoism bot or whatever they are. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
But,
Yes.
No, so I've been playing the DLC for Assassin's Creed Origins came out. And I've been playing some of that. It's phenomenal what I've been able to play. I've been super busy and then sick and all that good fun stuff. But that's been really good. It's a whole new era. Like, I thought it would just add... There's, like, sections of the map that, like, nothing has really happened yet. And so I just assumed DLC would be in that. And then this came out, and it's a whole new map, basically. With, like, four different zones and a crap ton of side stuff on top of the actual main storyline, which is really good. and then the new, like a bunch of new weapons, a bunch of new horses, a bunch of new skins. Like it's been a huge dump of content. I've dropped quite a few hours and I'm still like nowhere near finishing it. It's very worth the money.
I heard it's really cool. I heard it's much more combative. Like there's less,
Yeah.
you're less likely to be able to sneak past everybody. You're more likely to be seen at some point, so you're much more likely to get into a fight.
Yeah, well, and the big thing is, like, if you're going to be sneaky, like, you have to be good at being sneaky. There's none of this, like, half-ass it and it just happens to work out. Because before you start, it pops up a message saying, before you start this DLC, it's designed for people that have basically finished everything else in the game and are skilled. Like, do you want to proceed? Is
Right.
the first thing that pops up. And then, sure enough, like, any section where, like, you go to the first, like, fort, basically, you're supposed to sneak into. And it's massive, and there's like 800 guards in it, and like they're patrolling everywhere. And like,
Yeah.
if you're gonna be sneaky, you have to be really good at being sneaky to do it. But it's
Yeah,
phenomenal.
that's another thing I heard. It's no more of these piddly little outposts where there's like three or four guards. It's 20 or 30
It's
guards in
massive.
each little fortress. I also heard the verticality is really cool because,
Yes.
you have a little bit more of a flat land in the vanilla content. With
Yeah.
this one, you have much
It's
more
all
verticality.
just like just giant canyons to get everywhere. And it gets kind of claustrophobic and you're like, "Oh my God, someone's gonna this is a choke point. Like I'm gonna come across a bunch of dudes with arrows and just destroy me and
Well, plus you get like, what are they called? The Coco? The ostrich thing?
the ostrich thing."
The Final Fantasy 15 thing.
Oh yeah, the Final
Chocobo?
Fantasy, the
Chocobo,
chocobo
thank you.
looking camel.
Wait,
Yeah. So
they gave
that
you a chocobo?
surprise, did you
Yes.
not? I shared that video on Facebook, but there was like a
I don't
Final
play games.
Fantasy, there was a Final Fantasy event going on in Assassin's Creed, because I guess which Final Fantasy game had like an Assassin's Creed little Easter egg thing, but so it was out of nowhere.
15.
Was it 15? Okay, so that's why they had the 15 reference. So out of nowhere, there's this quest that pops up. I'm like, okay, and I sneak underneath the Sphinx, and like this cutscene triggers, and it's like the most Final Fantasy looking cutscene you can possibly imagine. So bizarre and out of place for Assassin's Creed, but I'm like, this is so cool. And then it gave me like a super Final Fantasy looking like sword and shield. And then a camel that's fluffed up to look like a chocobo. And it's
What?
hilarious looking. Yeah. God, nice to know you check my Facebook. Jesus.
I don't check anything.
Good
I didn't think
Lord.
there
You know
was the
that.
camel skin because I thought it had only two legs. Does it have four
It
legs?
has four legs, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because at first, when because the item drops, you get it, and it looks like it's an actual legit chocobo, and I was like, "Oh my God!" and went outside immediately and pulled it out, and that was just funnier. I was like, "It's a camel with four legs that looks like a chocobo, like it's the funkiest looking thing. It's hilarious."
Brett,
Yes.
camels have four legs.
Yes, but chocobos have two legs, so I was saying it.
Chocobos?
It could have been a kokobo, but it had four legs. Doesn't check my Facebook, doesn't listen to my words. Ugh.
Know, what kind of
Worst
friend are you?
friend ever.
I'm a
I thought that
horseradish.
was my title.
So I've also been playing.
I guess we're gonna go back to Nick here since he was doing laundry.
Yeah.
And then I'll do my next bit.
Is this a bit?
What else have you been
No.
playing?
I've also been playing Arkham Horror, the card game.
Arkham Horror.
Oh,
Oh,
the Eldritch kind of
yeah. Arkham Horror, obviously
Lovecraftian.
not talking about Arkham Asylum because
Right.
Batman borrows that term from Lovecraft, who made up the place, Arkham, Massachusetts. So yeah. But anyway, it's kind of sick. And it's cooperative. And yeah. I actually got Jake to play with me. So the two of us are playing that. And he's playing a Guardian, which is like a kind of a. They do the best job of killing things. And then I'm playing a. Words, Nicholas. Words.
What does the Words Nicholas class do?
I'm playing a Seeker. Seekers are really good at finding clues and kind of advancing the
Ah, yes, you find the
objectives.
golden snitch.
No, but okay.
Is it a deck builder kind of game, like
Not a
Dominion, or
deck
is it?
builder. So it's an LCG, so when you buy packs for it, they're predetermined, pre-constructed. It's not like you have to sit
Right.
there and buy, a million packs of cards like with a collectible card game or a trading card game.
Like Magic the Gathering?
Correct. So it's
Okay.
not like that. When you buy the core set of the game, everyone gets the same thing. When you buy, the first expansion, the Dunwich Legacy, everyone gets the same thing. And then, so each, or the core set comes with a three scenario campaign. And a scenario is like, okay, you sit down, then you play the game, then you play through a scenario. And each one's got its own objectives and the mechanics introduced or utilized by each scenario will vary. Like we played through one, the very introductory scenario I played with Jake. You're in your house, you're in your study, and you're reading about a whole bunch of murders that have been going on in the area. So you're trying to get to the bottom of what's happening. And you hear chanting, and then like you go to like take a look and see what's going on. And when you look towards your door is gone. It's just gone.
Yep.
And then you hear like scratching underneath your floor in your study. And you look down and like the corners of the rug that you just bought are all tattered and there's like mud underneath the rug. So you move the rug and there's your door on the floor and you swing it open and it opens down into your hallway and just a lot of crazy stuff like that and you end up finding out that there is
That you took shrooms
I'm not
earlier in
gonna
the day?
say
That you took shrooms earlier in the day?
what. Yeah, more or less. So I'm not gonna spoil anything else, but
Right.
it's really, really fun. And one of the it's a deck builder insofar as each character or each they're referred to as investigators. Each investigator has deck building criteria. And so you can take your investigator and their deck building criteria and construct a deck to begin the campaign. And then during each scenario, you gain experience points that you can then spend on either upgrading existing cards by switching them out for better versions or switching cards out for better cards that are higher level. So there's definitely a feeling of progression between each scenario. Now
Oh, that's cool.
the core game is the three scenario campaign. The Dunwich Legacy, the first what do they call it? The first shoot, I can't think of the term. But anyway, it's the first the first deluxe set that comes out or that came out last year. The Dunwich core box comes with two scenarios and then there were eight more, or sorry, six more scenarios introduced for the Dunwich Legacy, released over the next 6 months. So every month
Oh,
there was
wow.
another what they call Mythos pack, and it was basically like a 10 to 15, depending on where you buy it, $10 to $15 scenario pack that has at least two to three player cards for each class, and there's five classes. So neutral cards that don't belong to any class, and then a new scenario. So an entirely new scenario that includes encounter cards and location cards and effects and treacheries. So like the Dunwich Legacy, you start in a museum and then you move to a casino because you're trying to investigate and find out what's going on here. And then you end up in on a train and you have to jump from car to car. And then that you end up like climbing up a hill. If you've ever read Lovecraft's The Dunwich Horror, it's Sentinel Hill from the climax of that story. One of your best friends gets sacrificed on an altar, and that's how the scenario ends. And,
Good
like, it's
Lord.
just crazy. So, yeah, each co core campaign they're saying is going to be eight scenarios long. And then there's standalone scenarios that they've released. So far, they've released three. One is called Curse of the Rougarou. And if you're from the Louisiana Bayou area, the Rougarou is basically the werewolf. And so it's the Curse of the Werewolf, and you're like skulking around through the Louisiana Bayou in like 1920s New Orleans, trying to
Oh, that's cool.
hunt a werewolf. And the other one is the Carnival of Horrors, and you find this carnival and it's full of horrors.
Full of
So, and then the
prostitutes,
last
though.
one,
Huh, it's
the
just like
game,
the
I believe
title.
the game is 1 to 4 or 1 to 5 players. I can't remember how many players the game naturally supports. But yes, you can solo the game with one person, one player. I've done it with the core campaign, and it was a nightmare. Just a
Well,
nightmare. It
that's
doesn't
fitting
help that
for an Eldritch horror game.
I picked the character or the investigator Daisy Walker. She is a librarian that found a copy of the Necronomicon, and it haunts her to this day. So that's the investigator I prefer to play. She's fun. But yeah, I soloed the core campaign, and it was just it was a disaster.
So is it kind of
But
similar to what's that game that you were telling me about? The
Gloomhaven?
Gloomhaven.
No, not really,
Okay.
no. Gloomhaven is very much like a card cycling game
Right.
where you have like 8 cards or 8 to 12 cards, depending on your class, and you just kind of cycle
Right.
them. And, Arkham Horror is very much, and I need to be careful because there's the Arkham Horror board game, and then there's
Right.
the Arkham Horror card game, and it's the
Yes.
card game that I'm talking about. But it's very much like a traditional, you each draw a card and you have 3 actions each turn.
So
But where it's,
it's
go
kind of
ahead.
like Dominion. Have you played Dominion?
I've played Dominion, but it's not a deck builder. Like during the
Okay.
scenario, you don't build a deck. Like you have your
Okay.
deck ready to go, and then you go in and you do the scenario, and you can change your deck between scenarios. One
Huh.
aspect of the Arkham Horror card game that I really like and that I think it's received the most controversial response towards is rather than having situations like flipping a coin or rolling a die, which a lot of board games these days, card games, involve die and coins, etc., or some sort of chance. Arkham Horror, the card game, has what they refer to as the chaos bag. And in
That
any
already
given
sounds
scenario,
intimidating.
there is about 16 different tokens that you will put in the chaos bag. There's 5 tokens that have special symbols. And the remainder of the tokens are anything from 0 to +1 to 3 or -1 to 6. And each investigator has 4 core stats. There's willpower, intellect, agility, and combat. At any point, the game will call for you to test your skill. So we're going to do, like, if you want to investigate a location for clues, the typical way you investigate is by doing an intellect test. And each location has a shroud value. Like one of the locations in the first scenario has a shroud value of 4. My investigator, Daisy Walker, has an innate intellect of 5. So if I draw a 0 token or a -1 or any of the pluses, I still succeed in that skill test. Because a tie goes to the investigator, which is nice, because most games, tie goes to the game.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, tie goes to the investigator, thank God. But so you have each difficulty asks for your calls for you to assemble the chaos bag differently. So changing from, for example, standard to easy, you take out the -3 token, you put in a 0 token, and you add another 0 token. And that's the difference between standard and easy. Like, just a little. There's an autofail token. There's a token that makes it so that, like, a special effect for your character pings off. It's the Elder Sign token. It's a 5-pointed star. And then, like, so if you draw that, like, not only is it good because it's not negative, but it triggers your character's special effect, which for some is really
Oh.
good and some is kind of eh.
Hmm.
But there are some scenarios that make special use of the 5 different tokens that have special symbols. Not all scenarios require them or call for them, and they're not included in the standard composition of chaos bag. So one of them is in the Dunwich Horror campaign, and you have to put a whole bunch of tokens in that have like the symbol of a cultist on it. And if you draw that, then there's a special effect unique to that scenario that uses that symbol. So it's really cool. It's like having dice that you can change on a whim, which normally you can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Very, very, very well done. Super awesome game. And to introduce people to it, like me introducing Jake to it, because, you know, complicated games make his head spin, I built his deck for him, and I chose his investigator for him. And I basically gave him the story, gave him his investigator's reason and kind of buy-in for being there, and I said, just do what you want. This is how the cards work.
That's cool.
And we went. He had a lot of fun. He's like, okay, so my guy, he's playing Roland Banks, who is a retired FBI agent. And yeah, it's cool. But anyway, that was like a 20-minute tangent that I did not mean to go on.
No, you're passionate,
it sounds,
dude.
It sounds fun.
Yeah. That's what this chat's about, man.
Yeah.
That sounds like a game that I might have to check out.
Yeah.
But I've got the entire Dunwich Legacy campaign. And they call it the Dunwich Legacy because it is essentially a sequel to Lovecraft's story, The Dunwich Horror.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of going there, I think, what, 2 years after the Dunwich Horror story takes place? Mm-hmm. And, like, stuff's going on. So you're there trying to figure out what it is. So, but I have that entire campaign, but I have no one, like, until Jake, I've had no one to play it with. So I'm so excited.
I can see what this game's really about.
So
that's fun.
And then the second campaign is called The Path to Carcosa. And if you're familiar with the story, The King in Yellow.
King in Yellow.
Sounds familiar.
It draws heavily from that mythology.
Okay.
I think it's Robert.
And then Dark
Robert
Souls, there's a King in
Parks.
Yellow.
I can't remember. But anyway, it draws from that. And then the third series or sequence, I can't remember what they call them, but the third one has been announced, and it's called The Forgotten Age. And it involves you going to old, like, Aztec ruins in central Mexico and then down into crazy rainforests in South America. And the first investigator for it's been introduced already, and she's basically a female Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be awesome.
I like it.
So
that's sweet. Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
I would be a female Indiana Jones. I would be any Indiana Jones.
Oh, God. Brett, the next time you're out here, we're playing.
No, definitely. I'm excited.
And we're gonna, like, marathon that game. And then I told you, Joy, I don't think I did tell you. So that game I was telling you about that day?
Yes.
Like Gloomhaven?
Uh-huh.
Joy, my old boss, bought it for me and had it shipped to the house as
I
was
warming. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so sweet.
It's a $140 game.
Yeah.
And then she had to ship it. Good Lord. I think she kind of liked you. You're all right, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, that's super nice. Because I was looking at Gloomhaven, that box is huge.
Yeah.
Because I looked
at it's a colossal game. Like, the box is like 22 pounds.
Good Lord. Yeah. Well, in the interest of time here, I'm going to, and don't feel bad, you're more than okay for talking as much as you did about that, because that's exciting. Real quick, I'll do my last blurb on what I've been doing, and then we'll jump into the next section and keep moving from there. But just a quick update on my WoW adventures. I cleared the raid on LFR, so nothing like super exciting. But I did clear the raid and get to see all that cool cinematics and stuff, for those of you that understand. Super cool. And then went to certain places that certain things happened and did the quest chain there.
A certain place where certain things happen.
Yes. So the ending of this basically expansion is like absolutely amazing, and I'm excited to see where they take that storyline for Battle for Azeroth. But so
basically, Jaina gives birth to Arthas's child, and now everyone refers to her as Donald Trump Jr.
Can confirm.
That took a turn.
Saw a tweet by Blizz.
Not
definitely
expecting that.
Definitely what happened. But yeah, no, so the raid, just even on LFR, is just like absolutely breathtaking. The mechanics and the how they have some of the new spell designs and things. Like, a lot of these fights have stuff that I've never seen at all, and I've been raiding in that game for freaking ever. So, like, that's super cool to see. And then,
and this is the new expansion that came out, correct?
Well, this, I mean, it's been out for, God, almost a year and a half.
A year and a half.
So I'm a little bit out of the loop.
Yeah, just a little bit. But the next expansion is, they did announce that it's coming out. Battle for Azeroth is coming out on or before September 16th, I think they said. So it's probably
I
gonna
will be a
in
Zandalari
like,
troll.
It's probably going to be in like August. Well, you better get in the game and freaking get some reputation done. You're not going to be able to play as Zandalari.
Dude, I don't have a PC.
No, I know. I'm just telling you. If you want to play as Zandalari troll, like, you have to unlock stuff before you can do that. That's all I'm saying.
So do you have to? Because I thought, like, you could, like, what? How do you?
You're well, so disappointed, Nick. I thought, but.
So Zandalari, well, okay, so that they're not going to unlock until Battle for Azeroth launches, and that's going to be a reputation that you're probably with how other allied races have been. You're going to have to basically get them to Exalted before you can play as Zandalari troll.
Right, but the Zandalari faction doesn't come out until Battle for Azeroth.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm not concerned, because I'll play like a Goblin Shaman until then or something, and then I'll play a Zandalari Troll Druid, because the Zandalari Troll Druid travel form is a raptor, and the flight form is a freaking
pterodactyl! Brow!
Pretend cool. Like I've played WoW maybe once or twice, and I have no idea what the heck a Zandalari is.
Zandalari so, Trolls are the original trolls. The Zandalari trolls are the trolls that... Do you know what the Night Elves are?
Yeah.
Night Elves evolve from the Zandalari trolls.
That's how long they've been around. So they've always been a faction, or like a bad guy here or there, or a good guy here and there. Like, they've always been a part of Warcraft, but they've never been a playable race. And so with Battle for Azeroth, the Horde... are basically a part, so like the Alliance, like your questing area basically is a whole separate area, and then you unlock a race through that. You get the Dark Iron Dwarves, I think, right? Yeah, they're the ones that unlock with Battle for Azeroth. And then the Horde, your basically whole thing you're leveling through in the new expansion, it has to do with the Zandalari trolls, and that's how you basically ally them with you and then are able to play them. But so currently we have like Nightborn, Void Elves, Lightforged Draenei, and then the High Mountain Tauren are allied races you can unlock now. That just happened in the patch last week, that you can actually unlock and play those for. So, and those are all attached to reputation grinds. Wow. And that's been messing, because basically like, the Void Elves are basically so the Alliance can have Blood Elves, is basically all that is, because they're just a...
But they
a,
look stupid.
They're literally just Blood Elves with a different color scheme, like it's the exact same model and everything, but it's basically just so that could happen. And then the Nightborn going to the Horde, they look different, but it's basically so that the Horde has Night Elves, and then the Lightforged Draenei are basically so you can have a Draenei with a beard, and then super glowy tattoos, and then a permanent, basically... like glowing symbol of the Naru on your forehead, and then racials, and then the High Mountain Tauren or regular Tauren that have moose antlers.
I think my favorite race was the werewolves. Those were the coolest.
The Worgen, yeah.
Yes.
They're actually, it just came out, they're actually doing a rework of the Worgen model now, so that's actually going to get updated.
The Worgens?
The
Worgen
Worgens.
And Goblins, yeah.
Yeah, are getting updates, so that's going to be pretty sweet.
Goblin... but, are one of my favorite Horde races, because
yeah,
they just look
sweet.
So cool.
But so a thing they introduced in the last, I think the last like 6 months of this expansion was PvP brawls. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, Nick.
Isn't it like 300 on 300 cheeseburger making festivals?
No. So every other week they've been doing to
Got it
kind of
in
add
there.
more stuff is so it's called this PvP brawl that happens every other week, and usually what it's been is like a couple weeks ago it was Warsong Gulch, but each team had three flags and the flag cap point went up exponentially, and then you could capture flags even if all your flags were gone. So it was just this mass kill each other, grab flags and return them. And then like different ones were like there's no gravity or like different just weird fun mechanics to switch it, the monotony of these battlegrounds up. But so the one this week I'm playing the hell out of it because it's what I've me and you have had many a talk about wanting a battleground like this. So it's called Tarn Mill versus South Shore, and it's literally just the area around Tarn Mill instanced, and it's 40 Alliance versus 40 Horde, and the first team to get to 150 kills wins.
Jeez.
So you literally
That
just
sounds
start,
exhilarating.
you literally just start 40 versus 40 on either side of this giant field and charge at each other and just kill each other till whoever wins. It's just this massive death match, and it's something I've wanted in PvP forever, and it's so cool.
That sounds intense.
It's super intense. Like, oh, but like, so I read it and I was like, this is everything. Like, me and Nick have talked about wanting a battleground like this, just all out, just bloodshed. And so I load in and I'm like, sweet, you know, I'm in a group of 40, this is super cool. And we're running through the field, and then you see the horde running at you, and then it clicks. You're like, this is happening. This is a legit thing that's gonna happen. And then the walls collide, and it's just wham, straight out of the movies. It's so intense, it's so good.
You expect like the score from the Chronicles of Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to
Exactly.
play in the
Oh.
background.
No, some Two Steps From Hell music playing.
No, you gotta go. You gotta. Who is it? Who the hell was it that did that song? Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
I wanted you to do that next part. I really wanted to listen to that. That was Disturbed, by the way. I wanted to listen to the next part. I wanted you
Wait,
to do
that was
the.
Disturbed.
I wanted you to do the.
What?
I didn't know that was Disturbed.
There you go. Now
What?
you know.
Are you guys talking? I
Oh my
can't hear
God.
you. What happened?
I never know if he's serious or not. But yeah, anyway, it's
Is this a
amazing.
bit?
It's so good. And yes, if you are listening and you are able to, you should go do that.
Nah.
But yeah, so it's really good. I'm excited. I'm having a lot of fun over there doing all the special events, the love is in the air things going on right now, and I've been actually like for the first time ever, like I'm gonna try events out, and been diving in achievement hunting in there and Dark Moon Fair. I actually dove into that really heavily, and mostly my daughter has been really into watching me play WoW. She gets really into it and wanting me to go play because the world's huge, so she gets really excited. I have a little chair set up next to my computer for her to sit on and play and watch.
Oh.
And so like she loves the Dark Moon Fair because it's all these carnival rides, you know. And she's like, let's go do this, Daddy, and I want to see you do this and do this, and oh, that's so fun, and go kill this and jump in the water and drown yourself. Oh God, what?
What happened?
That literally happened. She's like, what does that bar mean? Oh, that means I'm gonna run out of air and die. Stay under until it's gone, Dad. Oh, okay. Wow.
It's one of those moments where you go,
Thank you,
okay,
daughter.
sweetheart, we need to go see a therapist now.
No, I'm so proud of her. She'll always be like every NPC, she's like, can you kill them? I'm like, no. She's like, dang it. Can you kill them? No. Dang it. Can you kill them? Yes. Do it, Daddy. Do it.
Do it, Daddy.
Kill it,
Kill
come
I
on.
actually got
It's
a,
horrible.
a an achievement on, so you know the planet Argus, which is where the Burning Legion's from, you know, is a place you can go to.
Spoilers!
That was like 4 months ago. Get over yourself. So,
I'm caught
I can't
up.
believe you just spoiled. I can't get it now because you've just
Oh, that's
spoiled
too
the whole
bad.
thing for me.
Yep,
Dude,
sorry.
I can't believe that it's I can't believe it's not butter.
Well, But so I'm running around there where there's just demons everywhere, and it was just like I accidentally got an achievement for killing X amount of demons because she's just like, kill everything, and I was like, okay. So I'm just sitting there like laughing with my daughter killing waves of okay. demons, and then I got an achievement for it, and I was like, oh, well, that's
not
cool.
Just the demons, but the women,
but the
children,
but the whim demons and the chill demons, like slaughtered them like demons. Oh, but yes, I've been having a lot of fun there. So there you go. So let's move on to our next segment, and we're gonna try to blur through these next couple segments for the interest of time here. Nick, segment for the Overwatch League.
Give me one moment, please.
Oh God, that was anticlimactic. This is horrible. Wow. I can't believe this happened. I'm gonna have to edit all of this
did
now.
He,
this is
I think
stupid.
He died.
This sucks. Oh, work and post production. This is awful. Let's just sit
well,
here. I'm gonna edit it.
Why didn't you say cut or something?
No, because
right.
I'll know it.
Thank you
know
for
it.
Waiting. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are gonna talk about the owl. No, not the ordinary wizarding levels, but the Overwatch League.
You can't use that joke 2 weeks in a row.
I sure can, you son of goat. All right, so, my friends, we are in the fifth and final week of Stage 1 of the Overwatch League. I think... Oh my god. Did that really happen? I think the Shanghai Dragons beat Dallas Fuel.
I'm checking that right now. I'm not sure either. It's not updated.
Oh, no, they're still playing. They're still playing. Holy bananas. Okay, Dragons are one up against Fuel. All right, so here's the standings as we sit right now. Get it? Standings as we sit right now.
I think that joke could have been better.
Yeah? Okay, so we're going to start from the bottom and work our way up.
That joke didn't have any legs.
As of right now, dude.
What?
So out of our 12 teams, bringing up the caboose is the Shanghai Dragons. 0 wins, 8 losses. Florida Mayhem, 1 win, 7 losses. Dallas Fuel, 1 win, 7 losses. Brett's team, the Los Angeles Gladiators, 3 wins, 5 losses. San Francisco Shock, 3-5. Philadelphia Fusion, 5-3. Los Angeles Valiant 5-3, Boston Woo! Uprising 5-3, Houston Outlaws 5-3, Seoul Dynasty, the previous Titan, and whose backyard this all was 6-2, and then NYXL and London Spitfire, both representing the Atlantic Division, currently lead the Overwatch League with 7 wins and 1 loss. Again, we're in the fifth and final week of Stage 1. This is the first day of the fifth week, though. We have 3 more days yet to go. Tonight's layout of tonight's schedule is... What?
They're going into Game 5. They're both 2-2 right now.
Holy bananas.
Can you imagine if Shanghai Dragons' first win was Dallas Fuel, who everyone thought was going to come in and just clear house?
That's hilarious.
I will laugh.
Oh my god, this is
so
good. So
right now is the Shanghai Dragons versus Dallas Fuel. Up next is San Francisco Shock versus LA Gladiators. Woo! And to close out the night, we have the LA Valiant versus Seoul Dynasty. Given Seoul Dynasty's recent record, I wouldn't be surprised if LA Valiant managed to pull off a win against them. So we'll see each team compete, what is it, twice this week? Yeah, twice this week, and then this will close out Stage 1. Stage 2 begins Wednesday, February 21st. The first game of that night will be Seoul Dynasty, again, versus LA Valiant. That seems kind of weird.
Right. Also, just as the news bit there, XQC will be allowed back in starting in Phase 2.
And who is he? He's with Dallas Fuel?
Yeah.
Poor kid.
So he will be back. He'll be back.
They kind of deserved it.
Did we want to talk about... Continue.
I'm he sorry. did deserve it.
This is
he
your
did
bit.
deserve
I need to
it.
back out.
Do we want let's talk about what happened there, XQC. Did we talk about that
we
last
talked
time?
About that, yeah. We went in detail with that. Yep.
Well then never mind. Because he doesn't deserve any more coverage.
Some recognition.
That being said, what are your guys' thoughts? We haven't talked about it in a couple weeks. Any big upsets or any big surprises that you have observed? I have my own thoughts. I will reserve those to close out the segment.
Look at you. Go for
other
it,
Russ. Than Seoul losing, which was an upset
Beautiful.
In and of itself. I don't know if we covered that last time. It happened after we had our nerd talk last week, didn't it? Or our Destiny talk?
You're talking when NYXL came out on top of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was after. That was the first time I actually started looking at NYXL and taking him seriously.
Yeah, I mean NYXL has been on they've kind of flown under the radar. As a talented team, it feels like they've been talented, and then they come out of nowhere and beat Seoul, which was top dog, undefeated. Everybody was saying, you know, they're the ones to watch, and then boom, they get taken down, and now they're
so happy.
Now they've ended
that.
Up losing a couple of games, right? Because they're 6-2, right?
They are 6-2. Yep. They are no longer in the top. We have NYXL and London Spitfire leading, and Houston Outlaws is the team that I think everyone's watching. Whether that's because Jake is the resident golden boy of the Overwatch League, or what?
Well, they're a likable team too.
They're a very likable team. Each one of their players has a personality. They engage the fan base. So they're all likable, and I think I'll withhold. Continue your thoughts, Russ, and then we'll move on to Brett's thoughts and reflections as we're nearing the end of stage one.
I mean, other than that, that's the biggest thing that I've seen so far is that the upset with Seoul, because you know, they were I feel like they were favored to win, you know, out of you know
oh,
the
definitely.
Season almost. And now they've kind of taken a step back. They've been knocked off that leaderboard, and it seems like the others have a chance. And I like that. I like that now we don't really have – we don't have a clear winner, so to speak, right? I mean, we've got some teams that are really good, but they've also lost a couple of games. So it's anybody's thing at the moment, which is nice. I like that. I would much prefer that to having a team go undefeated because it's boring, you know?
Oh yeah, and that was a big thing with Seoul at first. Is I was like, this like no one's gonna should be rooting for him because it's obvious, but this is so boring to go. Well, don't need to watch that. They're just gonna win, you know. Like that'd have been boring if they stayed undefeated.
Yeah. When we were watching the Dynasty versus NYXL game, Jake was actually kind of surprised. Not Overwatch Jake, my Jake, our Jake, I should say. We were kind of, or he was kind of surprised that I was rooting against Dynasty, and I was like so adamant. He's like, I thought you hated NYXL. I'm like, well, I don't really know anything about them, and what's more boring than having a team go undefeated the whole league? And he was like, oh, okay. So
well,
I agree with you there, and I'm thrilled that at the moment there's 3, 4, possibly even 5 teams right now that have what it takes to go all the way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's super exciting.
So, but anyway, Brett, what about you? What are your thoughts?
So, I mean, nothing too big with the actual gameplay per se. Like, it's all the same stuff. It's just amazing to watch people at this level. And, you know, the commentators are still amazing. But the thing I've been paying attention to a lot, because I've been just stalking all the teams and stuff on Twitter because, like, they're very active. And that's the big, like, as we were progressing through, and it's just going to get bigger from here, but how engaged the team, not just, like, the social medias of the team, but the actual players are with the fan base. So, like, I think Fusion held a Super Bowl party, and they invited a bunch of fans to watch the Super Bowl on, like, a screen in someone's backyard, and like just they invited everybody, like everyone was there, and it was super
like,
cool to
like
see.
Philly Fusion?
Yeah, like the team itself hosted a Super Bowl viewing party, and the whole team was there, and they invited a bunch of fans, and there's some of the like commentators from the Overwatch League were at the party, and they just hung out with their fans and played backyard games and watched the Super Bowl.
What?
And then like after the Gladiators game this last week, like the Gladiators had an after party at a local pub, and they signed jerseys and posts and like played Connect Four with like a bunch of board games with fans, and just sat there and talked one on one with everyone they could and just hung out. And like a lot of teams are doing stuff like this, just off stage, just connecting with their team, with the fan base, and it's really fun to watch.
Playing Connect Four is not a euphemism, is it?
No, it's not. They had an after party and there was giant gladiator orgies.
That's fitting.
They reminded me of the 300.
They don't call him Empire. Big Goose for nothing.
Ew, Mom.
No, but yeah, like, you know, I don't follow every team on social media because I'm not following every team, but the ones I have been paying attention to and seeing in news and stuff, like, everyone's getting really into the fan base, and individual players even going up and beyond, like not the team requiring them, like individual players are like going out and doing meetups. And like, I think a couple of players from each team is like putting together like a class, like an Overwatch class for people to show up, and they'll teach them like tips and tricks, like how to be better at actual game and stuff. Yeah. Like just huge.
Speaking of which, when you're done sharing your thoughts, I have something else I want to have us all throw around for a bit.
Oh, for sure. No, that's just the main thing. You know, nothing too different with the actual games itself, because they're just fantastic. It's amazing Overwatch to watch. I'm not overwatching Overwatch.
It's a bunch of Overwatching.
So
but yeah. No, so that's really my big point. It's just how. And I talked briefly about that last week, just specifically with the actual cast itself, how they're, you know, pushing themselves further and further with the content they do in the show, and now that's going through. So I dig that. Anyway, to you, Nicholas.
No, it's fine. I think they being, you know, those individuals that are behind the Overwatch League and kind of in the midst of it are realizing that, like, Overwatch League's success is dependent upon the engagement of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's nice. Coming from, you know, a world where other major league sports don't really, you know, same stuff every year.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting to see something change so much and grow, not even change, but just grow so much in its inaugural season, let alone, you know, in even just the way it does its own thing.
Yeah, so, right.
It's nice. I don't even know if that made grammatical sense. But
no,
anyway,
it did.
So Brett, you brought up the idea that like they're doing Overwatch classes. And so my question for you guys, and you know, I'll obviously participate as well, is how much do you think you have improved as an Overwatch player? And how much do you think perhaps the team you play with has improved overall since the, you know, the beginning of the Overwatch League and your viewing, or perhaps their viewing, or your collective viewing of the league itself?
Damn.
Do you think it's had an impact? Yes or no? And if yes or no, explain.
You asked specifically like my gameplay, right? Too.
Yeah, right. Like, has it had an impact on you? Has it had an impact on the team you play with? If yes or no, how?
Oh, I mean, it's got me playing different characters and trying out. Like, I've never played McCree, and then watching everyone play McCree, I went, you know, whatever, I'll try playing him. And I've actually gotten pretty good with McCree and a couple other heroes I don't usually play a lot. And but just like, you know, for the most part, I've played a tank. And so I'm usually just walking down the main lines. And so I never, like, when I play something else, I don't know what the other avenues of, like, I don't really know a lot of the maps very intricately.
Yeah.
Because I'm just walking straight down the middle. And so when I have gone to play other characters, I'm like, oh, I know this hallway exists because I saw it in the Overwatch League. Like, I'm learning the maps just by watching the games and, like, kind of learning flanking maneuvers and how to properly play different things, and then something I haven't been able to do though, like we tried the other night, is I played Soldier 76, and I keep watching these guys in the league use his Helix rockets to jump huge distances, and I cannot get that to work to save my life. I don't know what kind of freaking magic you're using, but it doesn't work. But and then with the team, I like how you worded that because you want me to just talk about how amazing you are. Jeez. The only people I play Overwatch with are the people I do the podcast with. But,
right.
But no, we've all.
No. That's. Don't
sure,
talk,
Nick.
You play.
Whatever.
You play with my. That means I have to talk about you, and Russ has to talk about you.
I don't want you guys to talk about me. Jesus, it's gross. Oh.
Yeah, we're bad enough.
Yeah, I don't
Nick
need to hear you guys
sure.
Tell me it's
we can
off.
Say
I'm awful.
Good things about you.
Sure, you're so bad at the game.
Anyway.
But yes, we need to play together. And so everyone like knows, Brett is a colossally good Orisa. And
stop.
So when he says he usually plays a tank, like he's being honest, he plays Orisa. And I will continue talking when it's my turn.
Oh my god. Stop.
I like how he skips over me.
Stop.
No,
oh my god.
No, I realized I was like answering my question about like what has it done for your team, and I haven't. It's not me yet. It's you guys.
I will be honest though, just so that it's here for being recorded for everyone. I've noticed we're communicating less lately. I don't know what that is, but
yeah,
everyone's. We're all playing different, you know, kind of branching out different characters and getting better at map knowledge and maneuvering. But we've definitely died off. I think it's partly because we're all trying different stuff and kind of trying to implement things we've learned from watching Overwatch League. But yeah, I've noticed we're not communicating very well.
I'm glad to know I'm not crazy because
okay.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. Cause like the other night I was on Orisa and I was trying to like communicate and say stuff and like, let's move this way together. And like, it would just be silence. And I'd be like, oh. I guess I'll just go and open the path. And then I would die by myself. But I will say, since Nick, you complimented me, like, obviously, now you're just fishing for compliments, so I'll compliment you. But, no, I know. So your recent Lucio play has been wall-ridingly amazing. Did you like that? Did you like that? Wall-ridingly amazing. No, it's been fun to watch you play Lucio a lot, and you've gotten really good at it. So
I'll talk about that a little when it's my
Russell!
Turn.
Russell! You go, man. It's your turn, Russ.
Oh, it's my turn. I think, like Brett said, I've been trying out a lot more characters. I've found that I can't do McCree. I suck at McCree. Real bad. Like, real bad. But I do enjoy playing Soldier 76, and it's different because normally I'm a Reinhardt, and I love Reinhardt. Reinhardt's amazing. I think that he is a very underappreciated character, and I think if you play him right, he is... I think he's amazing. And I do like how, right now I'm watching the Dragons versus Fuel, and they both had Reinhardt on our team, which I like to see because it's Reinhardt and Reinhardt's amazing. But I've also really enjoyed playing Soldier 76, and I think I'm decent at him. And like Brett said, I've had to explore other avenues because as a tank, you just take the main road and you block your players and you take the fire and you distract everybody so your DPS can get in the back lines and start messing around with their players.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed, I've been trying to explore other avenues on the maps that I hadn't seen before, which is cool. I like that because it's like, oh, okay. And this gives me ideas for like, because sometimes as a tank, if you can get a tank in on the back lines too, you can do some real heavy damage and really ruin somebody's day. But tanks are slower. So it's hard to get them, you know, the maneuverability to get over to where you need to be. Right? Anyways, now as a team, of course, I've got to talk about Nick, which I haven't played lately with your Lucio, but your Mercy.
Oh my god, my Lucio is a new thing.
Your Mercy has always been on point, and I love it. It feels like you're constantly rezzing me, especially when I'm playing Reinhardt, which is amazing, because then I can just get back up, throw my shield up, and take some more damage to kind of help everybody out, which when you're playing Mercy, I love playing Reinhardt, because it's just amazing. You know, and your mom, I love playing Reinhardt with your mom, because she does a killer Bastion, and I just threw that shield up in front of Bastion, and we take the other teams to town, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, he's not kidding. My mother
take the other teams to Junker Town.
He's probably a better player than I'll ever be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have her on the podcast someday, because she is a member of the clan on Destiny. Yes, she plays Destiny also.
Yes.
And she is much better at that game than we will probably ever be.
Also, yes.
So. Unless she has to jump.
I have that.
No, they changed. My mother is very much a creature of habit. They changed the jump mechanics in Destiny 2, and it ruined her day. She was like, okay, I can no longer jump in this game.
We need to get her into the raid.
We need to do the raid.
Yeah, well, that too. I would like to.
Okay,
do that
so anyway.
At some
point. Yeah.
But I have noticed, like, the communication, and I feel like sometimes we're trying to mimic what they do, but I think, like, I feel like the communication has been a little bit less, because it's, like, people will just go in an area and then not communicate back. But I feel like as individuals, we definitely succeed. I feel like we need to work on our team
definitely.
Work a little bit.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts there, Nick?
Why? What's shocking of you to ask? No, I think, like you mentioned, I've recently started playing Lucio, and that has to do with the fact that Mercy, whether or not you've been following, Mercy was kind of the dominant figure. Like, she was the auto pick of the game. Everyone had Mercy, period. With rare exception. And they changed her. I don't want to say nerf, because I don't know at this point. It might end up being a buff, because other characters are now being chosen in her place. But Mercy's ultimate was drastically changed a few months back, and it's been slowly kind of whittled away as far as utility and effect. So, I'm fairly good with Mercy. I've got, you know, like almost 100 hours logged as Mercy. Maybe I'm at that point already. So I've started playing other healers, and Moira is a given, because I love just killing things as Moira. But for some reason, I decided to start playing Lucio again after things that I've seen, not only in the Overwatch League, but also when I watched the World Cup. And I'm like, you know what? I started when they shrunk Lucio's radius for his abilities and they increased the potency. I was like, okay, I don't want to do that. It's boring. Yeah, I started playing him, and then I tweaked the control setup, because for every character I have unique keybinds and no one seems to like me for that. But, oh my god. So much fun. So much fun, and I think that watching the leagues kind of helped me push myself into that, because previously Mercy is what I knew, and I just stuck with what I was comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But I've tried other characters as well. I ran around a whole night as Soldier 76, and I didn't think I did too bad. But I've definitely found, like, my new happy place in Lucio. As far as the overall team goes, I've noticed, Brett, I noticed you playing McCree and Tracer. Ross, I've noticed you playing a lot more Soldier 76. Mm-hmm. Both of you are really good at both of those. Brett, whether you agree or not, you're actually a good McCree.
I would agree with that.
Agree, McCree.
Ta-da! Brett does a good McCree, especially having played McCree. Like, because then I saw Brett playing McCree, because I was watching you guys one time. And I was Stalker. Like, oh, McCree is really cool. Maybe I should try him out. And then I was like,
just play it more. I wasn't like decent at him like the first time. That's why I didn't play him forever, because I tried him once and I was like, I am garbage at this, and just didn't touch him forever until recently when I decide.
Like the Overwatch League teams that do really well have a few flex players.
Mm-hmm.
So players, and they're DPS players, support players, tank players, and then there are flex players that can kind of flex into any role, but maybe specialize in one or the other. One thing I've really noticed is that we've all tried to become flex players into at least one other role.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which I actually really like. I think that's really cool. Mom was playing Moira at Mercy the other night because I may or may not have had a drunken bitch fit about the fact that I was tired of being the only healer. Okay, I did have a drunken bitch fit about being the only healer. Russell, you be quiet.
I'm not saying anything.
So, you know, that happened. But, like Jake has started playing tanks again after being Pharah and, what's her name? Oh my god, Pharah and Symmetra, like, exclusively for a long time. He's also mm-hmm. started playing Sombra. I've started, you know, like, broadening my horizon as far as healers go, but I realize I am not a DPS. I just don't have it. Whatever it is, I don't have it. But I'm good with Winston, I'm good with Lucio, and I'm good with Mercy and Moira, and I'll be okay with that.
You are one of the best healers I've ever seen, though. Like, even compared with, like, the pros, the way you heal and how many times you res me, especially when you're playing Mercy, because, again, I haven't seen your Lucio play, is amazing and phenomenal, and to the point to where it has been the clutch res. You know, even if it's not me, it's a clutch res that helps us hold the point that we're trying to take down. You know what I mean? So,
well, while we're all yanking on each other's cacks here, I'm going to dive in here too.
Mm.
But, you know, before pre-patch with Mercy, I will say also in addition to that, that Nick, you are amazing at it. And watching the Overwatch League, I've been like, Chip! That's what my Mercy does. You guys think you're fancy?
Oh, my God. Yeah, post-nerf, I'm still, like, getting acclimated to the fact that even when Valkyrie's up, I don't have instant resurrection. Like, I've got a plan for that cast time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been avoiding Mercy, but I've been playing a lot of Lucio. My Lucio play style, Russ, is extremely aggressive. Like,
there's extremely, and there's where he's at.
I will chase Roadhog away from you. I will pursue, like, the other, last night, I actually said, I never thought I'd say this. I was like, I am going to go Widowmaker hunting. And I went off, and I killed Widowmaker.
Lucio, and I've seen this a couple of times, especially here lately, there have been a couple of times where I've seen really aggressive Lucios do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one, I was playing a match the other night, and I had this Lucio dancing on the point, so he couldn't push the point forward, and I couldn't shoot him because he was all over the place. So I couldn't get any damage on him. And it was ridiculous. It was frustrating the heck out of me. Because he was dancing on the point, jumping around, moving around. I couldn't get any damage on him because I couldn't freaking hit the dude. Mm-hmm. And he just sat there the whole time, so the point wouldn't move at all. And it was
That's where the fine line rests is in mobility. If you're willing to use your speed song and your wall riding abilities for mobility, mm-hmm. mobility, I'm so confused now.
Mobility. Like
you can pull off some crazy things.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's been a lot of fun for me. And then Winston is my tank. So, yeah. But, I've enjoyed watching everyone flex into additional roles. And
it's been fun.
It's made me very happy, and I think part of what's missing right now in the communication is that we're all trying to flex into those additional characters and roles, like you both have said. Mm-hmm. And the communication is what's suffering because of it, because we're so used to communicating from the perspective of the character or role that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's something we can work on for sure.
But yeah, Brett, like if we need to push a line,
Eurorissa is rough. If we need like the ground held, your Reinhardt is make all boy moose go wah.
Wow. Oh, awesome. Well, in the anything else with the League of Overwatches before we move on here
I
in the
don't think
interest of
so. I
time?
don't think so. I know
Okay.
next week when we or next the next time we talk about the Overwatch League, we'll be in stage two,
Correct.
and we'll be able to reevaluate team changes. Perhaps will have taken place. The league's first female player was drafted into the Shanghai Dragons, I think
Oh, is
this
that
week. Yeah,
official? I thought that was
it's
still
official.
speculation.
I believe it's official.
I
I
haven't seen
guess don't
anything
quote me on
official.
that. But either way, they wouldn't. She wouldn't be able to play until the start of stage two.
Correct.
So, and then the one we don't speak of is no longer banned, so or suspended. So, we shall
I
see what
do want to
happens.
say I'm excited to watch the first female player here. If she does end up with the Shanghai Dragons, which they need it.
Yeah.
But so she is considered the best Zarya player in the world to the point where
Yes.
she had to prove to the world that she doesn't cheat when she plays Zarya because it's ungodly the stuff she's able to do.
I
So that will
remember
be
that whole
cool.
controversy.
And then she's also considered one of the best divas, so that'd be interesting to see that come around too.
Well,
So
D.Va's
yeah,
a
that'll be
character
really
that's
good.
already just like, oh, the divas that I see compete in the league are so aggressive.
Incredible.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It's like,
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm excited to see some more Zarya stuff because that's a character I've never been able to get
Me
good
too.
at.
Oddly enough,
Zarya is the
the
most annoying for
highest
me as a Reinhardt.
my highest
On a
accuracy rating
basis.
in the game is as Zarya, and I've played
That's
like
awesome.
5 minutes as Zarya.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Also,
Dallas
before we
dated
move
that
on
token, the
from
Shanghai Dragons too.
Overwatch League, I would just like to throw the statistic still, since I brought it up a few weeks ago, that we're almost done with stage one, and Symmetra is still the only hero that has never been picked.
She's been picked
Really?
during the lobby and before a match officially starts, much to the chagrin of the audience, who will applaud and then promptly boo the
Be
second
yep.
the player
And they're doing
selects
that on
off of
purpose, and
Symmetra.
it's hilarious. But yeah, so
So
I
I'll
don't
be
know why
interested to see
she's
if
done
any
very good in
changes
every
come
game I've
about.
done, but yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, Jake is a Symmetra main, and he accomplishes some crazy
Oh,
things.
I know. I see a lot of really good
Like, that's
Symmetra
what we're used to, you
play.
know?
So that's weird. But yeah, so that's still a statistic. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. All
Cool.
right.
But yes, before we close out then, obviously, if you want to watch the Overwatch League, you can go to twitch.tv/Overwatch League, or you can go to overwatchleague.com. If you were curious about what this Overwatch we might be talking about is, please
Get out from under
proceed
your
to
rock. Also,
playoverwatch.com.
also,
Back to you! Oh.
the Dallas Fuel did end up winning 3-2. So there you go. That just happened like
Aww.
4 seconds ago.
Yeah. That's what I just said. You weren't listening to me?
Dude, I don't. You're here. Oh my God, when did you join my podcast? What the hell?
Don't want to jump off a bridge.
Okay. So. We're gonna start heading towards the end of the show here because I want to eat dinner and I'm starving.
No, that's all right. We can do our, because we still have to do, we still have to weigh in on The Last Jedi, but I don't think tonight's the appropriate time.
We're not doing that without Luthien. That's the whole point, is we're
Okay,
having to get everybody.
gotcha.
That's why that hasn't happened yet, because we're scheduling with everybody to get them involved in that.
I also would like to see it one additional time.
Yeah, for sure. There's your homework. I know it's gonna be awful. Oh, go see Star Wars again.
Oh gosh, can't wait to hear you do that.
So I'm gonna fly through this really quick. Just as an ending thing here, games. These are the games that are releasing this month, since we are towards the beginning of the month, just so people are aware what's happening. Since we brought up a list in our last nerd talk and went through everything releasing this year and talked about it. So how exciting is that? So here we go. Skyforce Reloaded on the Nintendo Switch. That's already out. That's already, never mind. Oh well. EA Sports UFC's out. We were Here Too, whatever that is out. Shadow of the Colossus came out yesterday on the
Ooh.
PS4. I've been watching some stuff on that, and it's fun to watch some of these big streamers that are very young and did not play the original go, this is the big game, I'm going to play it, and they're doing awful at it and raging, and it's hilarious. Anyway, Marooners is out on the PS4, Xbox One. That came out yesterday. The next Civilization game is coming out tomorrow. Octagon coming out on the 8th. Dragon Quest Builders on the Nintendo Switch coming out on the 9th. The Seven Deadly Sins, Knights of Britannia, is coming out on the 9th. Under Night in Birth X is coming out on the 9th. Dynasty Warriors 9 is coming out on the 13th. Kingdom Come Deliverance is coming out on the 13th. I know you guys talked about that a little bit.
Is there a Kingdom Go Deliverance?
Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game, whatever that is February 13th. Owl Boy is coming out on the 13th. Radiant Historia. Overwatch League Boy. Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology is coming out on the 13th. The Longest 5 Minutes on the 13th. A Certain Magical Virtual, 15th. Secret of Mana on the 15th. Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 are coming to the Switch. Both of those are going to happen on the 16th.
Oh, yeah.
Long Gone Days on the 18th. Metal Gear Survive is finally coming out. That's going to be on the 20th. Apparently,
the entire month of February.
Yeah, man. Damn. This is stuff coming out this month. Age of Empires Definitive Edition. I didn't go to look into that because I didn't know that was a thing. It's coming out on the 20th. The Pac-Man game that where we talked about, we don't know why they're redoing Pac-Man again. That's coming out on the Switch on the 22nd. Yep. Past Cure on the 23rd.
The most legendary RPG ever released.
Right? Dang it! What have I done with my life? Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet is on the 23rd. Da Blob 2 Remastered on the 27th. Girls Under Panzer Dream Tank Match on the 27th.
Da Blob was a Wii game, wasn't it?
Yeah, yep.
But the Blob 2 remastered.
Yes. The Blob 1 was not good.
Underpants?
Girls Under Panzer, as in the tank. Dream Tank Match on the 27th. Gravel on the 27th. Moss on the 27th. And Payday 2 on the 27th.
So there you go. Payday a board game?
No, that's not.
I think it was Payday's a game about robbing banks, I believe.
Yes.
It's kind of like... From what I've seen, it's kind of like Hitman, except you're multiplayers and you're trying to rob places.
Correct. So there you go. So those are the games coming out this month. Our next chit chat will probably be Destiny related content here soon. And then we'll have, hopefully we can plan our Star Wars talk for the next Nerd Talk. If not, we'll just keep pushing it until it never happens and we'll just keep discussing other things. So there you go.
Last Star Wars talk.
The last
See, that's how we really get people to tune in. We promise them we're going to have this big talk, and then eventually it builds to the point to where people have to listen to us.
Right, and go, maybe this
just
is the one.
Finally hear the deliverance. We're turning into Bungie, promising things that are never happening.
Oh, God.
That's something we can talk about in depth in our next Destiny episode, I think.
Correct, and that'll be soon. So, thank you once again for joining us for Just Some Guardians, Episode 10. We are in the double digits now. Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting is not easy, and organizing it is not easy. But we have made it to 10. We're progressing forward. We're a thing. This is fun. So, thank you for joining us. Once again, we are live when we do these episodes on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. We're on Twitter at JSGcast. Facebook, Just Some Guardians. You can email us at justsomeguardians@gmail.com. We are on iTunes and Podbean. And I've recently learned that that actually means that we've gone through to all your other podcast app of choices. So we're everywhere now. Woo!
iTunes, yeah, being on iTunes and Podbean means you're everywhere.
We're also on Spotify, I recently discovered. So
do we have another review?
Let me pull that up. Discuss amongst yourselves something cool. I'm on, I'll just plug me because that's what you're supposed to do at the end of a podcast, right? So I keep saying I'm going to stream, but I keep life sucks, so I haven't been able to stream. But when I do decide to stream again, it'll be amazing, and the world will care very much because I have a huge following, obviously. But so I stream on twitch.tv/ElmerFuddGames. Double M double D.
Double D.
I am on Twitter at ElmerFuddGames. Are you guys anywhere social media that you want people to check you out on?
I'm at He Who Fights on Twitter, but I never use it.
There you go.
I never use my Twitter.
Twitter?
No, we do not have any new reviews. Don't forget, okay. You can jump onto Twitter, or onto Twitter, onto iTunes, give us a review and a accent or voice you would like Nick to read it in, and we will read it on the show in said accent, such as a Canadian with a lisp. So there you go.
If you want a sample of that, listen to last week's podcast, because it's hilarious.
Yes, it was fantastic. So there we go.
My advice? Have me impersonate Brett. That'll be hilarious.
Oh God,
I don't have a beard that I can stroke, but I do have...
that's part of it.
I have luscious locks that I can stroke.
I shaved my beard.
That's you're going a completely different direction with the stroking.
I shaved my beard yesterday, and I...
No!
So much.
Russell, I don't you're dead know that you have a beard, actually. I think you're lying.
He had one. He had one.
Did.
Ladies and gentlemen, a moment of silence, please, for Russell's beard. Nick! No! No! It's a moment of silence! You are a good beard, and you will be missed. We will forever think of you fondly.
My cheek right now.
I believe it.
Yeah.
There's tears streaking down my cheek, but they're getting caught in my beard that still exists. Ha ha!
Don't rub it in.
Well, yeah, I will. It moisturizes my luscious hair. Mm.
You moisturize with tears?
I do. Orphan tears. Russell, take us out.
Join us next week for Mutual Chaos and Utter Incompetence with Just Some Guardians.
Ba-da-ba. Every time you say that, I feel like you're going to say, join us next time on Dragon Ball Z.
You know what? Next time I might just do that.